All right, we have been studying this whole area of compensation, doing ministry. Of course, ministry is something that everyone does. You're in this training at CLI, and maybe you want to do this full-time eventually. But you have to start somewhere. So we've been talking about how you might be compensated. We looked at how you might start volunteering and eventually maybe get hired. We looked at starting your own ministry. Another way to get compensated is to start your own church. I started a church in 1988, but I did it through a denomination. So my denomination sponsored me. I already was a pastor in another church. They sponsored me. They paid me. They gave me some money to start up. And that might not be an option for you. You're taking classes at CLI. Maybe your church doesn't even recognize what you're doing. They're not sure about your training, or you don't have necessarily a specific degree that people recognize. So you're just an unknown. So one way to get compensated is to just start a church. I want to just talk about some of the basics of starting a church. The first thing that you need is a calling. And the first kind of calling is an inner calling, the kind of calling that Samuel got. You remember the prophet Samuel when he was a young boy? He was under the tutelage of Eli the priest. And one night, God came and spoke to Samuel, and he didn't know who was speaking. He thought it was Eli. And eventually, Eli said, maybe God is talking to you. And when he speaks again, just say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. And so eventually, God specifically calls Samuel. God specifically called Moses. Remember Moses, and when God called him in the burning bush, Moses said, I'm not gifted enough. I can't speak. And God said, I will be with you. So God specifically called Moses. And then God, I have on your thing, God called Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. Gideon is one of the judges, and he was complaining about how Israel was being raided by the neighboring nations, and he was complaining about how things have fallen down. And then an angel shows up and comes to Gideon and says, I've chosen you. And then Gideon goes into all his excuses. I'm in the smallest tribe in Israel. I'm in the smallest family in the smallest tribe of Israel, and I am the least of my entire family. And God says, it doesn't matter, I'm calling you. So if you want to plant a church, you have to have, first of all, this sense that God is actually calling you to plant a church. And what does that look like? It might be a clear thing. You might actually hear God say, this is what I want you to do. Or it might be just a feeling, a sense. Sometimes we have to act first before we realize that God is in fact calling us. Maybe we just don't know, but we go with our gut instinct. So you want to start with the inner call, the call of God. And then that is followed up by a calling, an external call. Acts chapter 14:23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders from them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So there were elders, leaders in the church that God had in mind. God called them, gave them an inner call, but then these leaders were also recognized by Paul and Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas appointed them. So in your case, maybe you have a strong sense of the inner call of God. You feel like God is calling you to actually do this. But the external call is a little iffy. You're in a church and they're busy with their things. They don't even know what studies you've done or your potential. Maybe they're afraid to invest in you to do a church plant. So what you need to do is try to confirm some kind of an external call. One way is to get the ordination through Christian Leaders Institute. That's one way to get sort of recognition. But then to take that recognition farther to your local level. Why not approach your own church and say, this is what you want to do. I want to try to plant a church. I'm not asking for money. I'm just asking for your prayer support and your encouragement and maybe a few people to help me get started. I mean, why not? And if you can't convince some leaders in your own church, then maybe you have to keep working at that and you don't really have the external call. Maybe God is getting you ready, but you're not ready to quite do it. All right, so number three, training. Acts 22, verse 3. Paul writes these words, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. So he's giving a speech to some of his own, and he's trying to make a case that, look, I was raised like you. But my point is he did study. He studied under Gamaliel, who was probably the number one teacher at that time. He studied in the law, which is the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, and then all the other added laws that the Pharisees sort of added to the law. Now, this training wasn't specifically Christian. Some of it was bad training. But my point is, Paul had some training. He didn't just arrive out of nowhere. He had a lot of training, and he was going against God, going against God's plan. But then God turned him around, and certainly God used all of the training that he got originally. So, for you want to plant a church. You could just go without any training. There are plenty of people who go off and plant churches that don't have any training at all. But a lot of times people will go and do that, and because they don't know what's coming, they make a lot of mistakes. Why not learn as much as you can? So you're taking courses at CLI. I would encourage you to keep taking more courses. Be prepared. Know your stuff. The better leader you are, the better you're going to have people follow you. In some ways, planting a church is really the test of your leadership. When I became a pastor, it was in 1982, a church called me. A church called me in 1982 to take a church that already existed. It existed for 50 years. There were people that got it going. There was a building. Everything was there. And I was called just to lead it. It wasn't a true test of my leadership because people were there. It was a test of my pastoral abilities to actually communicate and get connected to these people and help them grow. But it wasn't a test of my true leadership. 4 years later, I went off to Vancouver, British Columbia. There, I went with my wife and my three kids, and we decided to plant our own church. Well, we had no followers. And to get followers, well, that's a test of leadership. People aren't going to follow me unless I'm worth following. And so having as much training as you can to be a leader worth following, is perhaps your number one goal at this point. Get your training. Get as much training as you can. Be a leader worth following. Because people aren't going to join your church unless you are worth following. Okay. Basics. Number four, vision. You have to have a vision for what kind of church you want to plant. And I just put, there's a lot of different visions for planting a church. One is entitled, or I've sort of coined it this way, build it and they will come. That's a vision. And then there's the seven connections. You've heard about the seven connections before. My first church was an established church. It was 50 years old. I went in there, and the church doubled in size over the 4 years that I was there, and it doubled in size just because it was friendly. It was a friendly church. So I thought, wow, if you could just start a church from scratch with the idea of reaching out, how much better could it be? So 4 years later, I went off to Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. I was in Michigan before that. And I went off to plant a church with my spouse, with my three kids. And what I saw before is if you make a nice service and you preach relevant sermons and you start having good music, people will come. You build something good and people will come. And so that's what I did in Vancouver. And we had great music. My wife is an excellent musician. She built a team. My sermons were relevant and full of life and, you know, stories, things that are funny, things that are sad, you know, trying to make the text relevant. And our church in 3 years grew to 500 people. I built it. You know, we built it with some people, with a team of people, and people came. They liked it. The whole goal was, you know, you've come to church now. We want to give you a good experience so that you come again next week. We want you to come next week. We want you to come the next week, and the next week, and the next week. So it worked. But I remember 3 years into it, I was preaching on prayer. And I had 8 sermons on prayer, everything I could think about on prayer, everything that the Bible says about prayer. And then I went to visit one of my parishioners' homes. And we just before we ate, he said, "Pastor, could you open in prayer?" And I said, "Well, why don't you just do what you do in your church or in your home?" And he said, "Well, we don't do anything." And I said, "Really? You've been coming to our church for 3 years, and we just had this sermon, a sermon series, 8 weeks on prayer, and you don't even open your dinner with prayer? You feel uncomfortable with that?" And he said, after 3 years of coming, he said, "Well, we're not ready for that." And I realized that I built it and people came, but they were spectators. They were sitting in the bleachers. They were watching me go through the Bible stuff. They were watching our band sing its songs, but they weren't walking with God themselves. They weren't walking with God in their homes. They weren't singing in their homes. They weren't reading their Bibles in their homes. They weren't praying in their homes. They weren't playing the game in their own home. Build it and they will come. If you make it really good, they will come. Until they find something better. I had people, you know, they were coming, they loved it, and then they got a ski pass on Sunday and they went skiing every Sunday with their family because that was better. So, along with Henry, we sort of refocused our whole view of church planting and we came up with the 7 connections. You remember what those are. Connection 1 is your personal walk with God. Connection 2 is your walk with God with your spouse. Connection 3 is your family walk with God. Connection 4 is your support group, your small group. Connection 5 is the church service. Connection 6 is the kingdom. Connection 7 is the world. We refocused our whole way of church planting, starting with a walk with God. We have to give people a walk with God. I can't have people coming to my church, listening to sermons, participating in the prayers on Sunday and the singing, and then they go home and they don't even dare lead their family in prayer. So we started teaching people how to have personal devotions, marriage devotions, family devotions, and the church service was the support system for what goes on at home. The way I thought about it before is, everything that you do is the support system for our church. We want all the talent, all the gifts, and everything is focused in on our church building. Let's make our church building the light to the community. Well, that's the build it and they will come mentality. The other vision, the 7 connections vision, is no. Let's have the church be the support system for people's homes, for people's lives, for when people go to work. Let people's homes and lives and workplaces be the light. The church is the backup system, the support system. After being the light all week, they come to church and we encourage one another when we go out. Well, that makes a total difference in terms of how you're going to plan a church. The one way, you're focused on how do we make a service relevant for people who don't want to come. The other way is, how do we build people? How do we build people up? It makes a difference with every program of the church. Our youth program is not, let's take all of your kids and do something good with them because you as a parent can't do it. No, we take your kids and we try to do something, but we include you as a parent because we want you involved in the education and training of your child. It's your child, and you're the greatest influence that your child will ever have. So how can we help you as a parent succeed as a parant? So if you're going to plant a church, you have to come to grips, first of all, with your vision. You have this call, inner call, you have the external call, but then you got to figure out your vision. What are you going to do? Are you going to be focused on a service? Or are you going to focus on people's actual walk with God? All right. Number five, team. No one starts a church on their own. When I went off to Vancouver to plant a church, I didn't go by myself. I went with, first of all, my spouse. My wife is an integral part of this. You need your family on board. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Henry and I used to do these training seminars for how to plant a church. And we'd get these guys who wanted to plant a church. We'd have like 15, 20 of them in a room. And we would talk to them and go through the seminar for a two-day thing. And they would be enthusiastic and they were excited and they were going to go home and do it. And it was fantastic. And everyone was on this high. And then we would call these people who attended the seminar like, you know, 2-3 weeks later. And a lot of them had done nothing. They were going to do it. They were excited. They were enthusiastic. They get home and they do nothing. And you know why? Because they come home, and a lot of these were men. They came home. They were really excited. And the first person they talked to was their spouse, their wife. And they said all these things and everything that they were going to do and how this was going to work. And the thing is, these spouses had heard this kind of language before, and nothing happened. So they didn't experience the seminar. They didn't see the vision. And they've seen their husbands go on and on about stuff before, and it didn't really work out. So they're sort of stepping back. So the problem number one was selling it to the spouse. And so from then on, we decided, if we're going to do these seminars, we're going to insist that the spouse is there. We have to convince both of them together because you need them as a team. And I've seen so many pastors who are on board. They have this vision, the strong vision to do something, and then the spouse is not. And it just doesn't work. You need your spouse on board. You need your children on board. Your family has to be on board with doing this, or it's not going to work. Why? Because your family is the building block of other families. Other families are going to watch your family. You're building one family at a time, one couple at a time. You need a mentor. Now, in those days, I didn't have much of a mentor. I was hired by my denomination. I had a program leader that was sort of in charge of me, but he had never planted a church of his own. And so I had this entity called Home Missions in charge of me. And they didn't know much about church planting. So I didn't have a mentor, and that hurt me. And I'll tell you how it hurt me, and we don't have time to go into it a lot. But the problem, what happens when you start forming a group is the best people in your group will want to be like you. And if you're the king of the hill, see, because I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have someone that I was honoring that's above me, because I didn't have a mentor, I was the king of the hill. And my best people, they too wanted to be like me, the king of the hill. And so eventually, they want to fight with me because I didn't model servanthood to a mentor. So you really need a mentor. Secondly, you need a partner. You need a partner. You can't do things on your own. The problem with planting a church is you have this grand vision, and then you start getting a few people. And then you get this strong person. You need a strong person, but that strong person has a different vision than you do. And you only have 20 people in your group, and that strong person just has to convince a couple people of his way, and the whole group will go that direction. So people will try. But if you have a partner who shares the same vision that you do. It doesn't have to be a paid person. It can be just a person that's helping you plant this church, but a strong person who believes the same thing you do. See, one person is a prophet crying in the wilderness. Two people is a movement. Two people is a movement. Two people saying the same thing. When a new strong person comes in, they're less likely to, you know, project their own vision for how the church ought to go. I'll tell you, that'll save you a lot of fights. You need a core group. You need some people that you can depend on. You want to reach out. The purpose of planting a church is to reach people who don't go to church. But in order to disciple those people who don't go to church, you need people to help you. You need people to help you. So start with a core group. The best place to get a core group is the church that you're in. That's what I'm saying. Go to the leadership and say, hey, I'd like to plant a church. Do you think if I could convince 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 people to come with me, that would be okay? We'll be a daughter church of yours. We're not asking for money. We're just asking for a few supporters. Or maybe some people who will help get it started, but maybe won't be the ones that stick with it. They'll just help get it going. You need some people to get things going. You can't do it all on your own. Okay, and then you need support. Two different kinds of support. You need, or three different kinds. You need prayer. Don't just do this. Church planting is giving the devil a black eye, and he knows it. So you start planting a church, the devil and his forces and his hosts will be against you. So don't do it without prayer. Get the people you know. Get your relatives. Get anyone that you can to start praying for this endeavor. Doesn't mean you're going to succeed. You don't have to present this like some big thing. Hey, we feel God is calling us to plant a church. Maybe. We're going to start small and see what happens. Would you be willing to pray for it? And then you need people. You need the support of people. You need some people. Again, the core group. And then finally, you need some patrons. These are people who might be willing to pay something. Because to start anything, once it starts growing, does cost some money. Okay, start. Where do you start? Start with a house church. You know, don't start thinking, well, I'm going to go plant a church because I want to get, you know, a ministry job. I want to be compensated with a ministry job, and so I'm going to start a church. No. Start by getting something going in your own home. You don't have to rent anything. You don't have to get chairs. You don't have to get sound systems. It's all right there. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. It's a nice, I mean, you can start with just your family. You already got a good start. Just invite one other family. Sit down and say, hey, maybe we could start meeting together. We'll have a little Bible study. And then you get another family. You get another family. You got four families. You know, a full house seems like success. You go rent some space and you take four families, it feels empty. Start in your own house. If it never goes beyond your own house, that's still a blessing. It's still a great thing. But start there. Next, only do those activities that you have leaders for. You don't have to have nursery, taking care of little kids during the service, and Sunday school, and this program, and that program. You start small. You know, big churches have all the bells and whistles. They have a program for everything. You can't do that. Be a church that does less. In fact, take pride in that. We're a church that does less. We don't have all these bells and whistles, but we do the one thing that a lot of these churches don't. We're going to help you grow spiritually in your own home. That's our goal. Next, as the group grows, perhaps there might be the possibility of compensation. Okay, if you want a ministry job, you're growing your own ministry job, but you're starting out small. Is it going to work? I don't know. Maybe after a while, you'll need more training. Maybe you need more effort, or it's going to take a while. You just go as long as you can. But if it grows, you start taking offerings, they can start supplementing your time. You can start part-time, and then gradually, who knows what's going to happen. So compensation is something that you sort of earn your way to. It doesn't just happen. And then finally, if you are interested in getting paid to plant a church, you need to take the church planting course. Okay, we have a church planting course at CLI. This is a course on enterprise and tent making and how you might do a business on the side and get a church started or a ministry, or you might plant a church. I just wanted to give you a taste of the many options that are before you, and this is one of them. But if you truly feel called to plant a church, then I would, not just based on one little lecture here, I would take the whole course on church planting. Take that whole course and then see if God is calling you to plant a church. And also, there's another option to you. If you're thinking of starting with a house church, we have a whole house church network and a course that you can take. And how you can be compensated is you start a house church, and then you help other people start a house church, and then you become like the apostles. You know, you're helping getting several house churches going, and then collectively they support you as their apostle. So there are a lot of different ways that you can do this. We're talking just about how to get compensated in ministry. And certainly pursuing a house church or maybe going full bore and trying to plant a church with the support of others is one way to do it.